What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 26th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside GameFanatics.com, Ben Runnings.
Hey.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
I'll clap for myself. Very good. It's super exciting to be here. It's a weird place to be after seeing for years.
Yeah.
I get to look in all the nooks and crannies. I got
sure.
to look behind the walls.
Don't do that.
There.
No, don't. You'll find the bodies.
Yeah.
I didn't look that close. I mean,
you don't want
to. Just tell me where not to look. And
sure.
I'll just look the
as
other
long as you're not looking place that can incriminate us in court, we're fine.
Oh, I mean, I did film a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. We you know, okay. Kevin was walking you around very clearly, telling you what to see. What to see.
Oh,
Ben,
yeah.
Who are you if somebody doesn't know?
So I'm Ben Runnings. I write for a website called thegamefanatics.com. And I used to run their podcast. So let me actually back up a little bit. So in 2011, I graduated with a degree in game design, which makes me a little bit different. And through varying degrees of circumstance and life, I'm going to turn a little.
Yeah, you got it.
I ended up pursuing kind of different angles of my career. I didn't go into game development. I had a couple of game design tests and things.
Yeah.
But I never got a job in the industry, and I went in a different direction. I worked for kind of a different company for a while. It doesn't matter. I'll belabor the point if you let me. So stop me.
Stop, Ben. So you said I wasted all this money, learned how to design games.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to go talk about it.
And now I'm just going to go talk about it. But that brings a different perspective with it. Because
of course, yeah. You actually know what you're talking about.
I've made levels in Unity. I've made a 3D Metroidvania platformer type of thing in Unity, in Unreal. I've made levels. I've programmed Flash games, all sorts of stuff. So you take a little bit of that extra knowledge to make a little more critical look at games, since I know more or less how to look at them. This is why I was also mad about Fallout and Skyrim and all that, because I've used that toolkit, and I know how broken it is. Oh my God, it's a mess. But it's impressive, like what it can do. That's why those games are so in-depth and intricate, because of that engine. You can turn like an apple into a door, and that's not a normal thing.
Okay.
Like it can just be anything. Anything could be anything in that engine, and it's really cool. So I take that knowledge and kind of more in-depth look at games and try to a little more critical eye, I know behind the curtain a little bit more than that. So that's what I try to take to it. I'll say more about me. I stream on Twitch.
Yeah.
Taking a little break from that. I was really into Mario Maker. So I'm super excited for Mario Maker.
Yeah. Baby.
I've opened up my Switch. You look at it. 1,500 hours. Mario Maker 1.
That's a lot.
Just a few.
Just a few hours. Yeah.
Yeah. So when the slopes came on the screen, I was so fucking excited.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Slopes. I'm so in. Very excited. And you know, twitch.tv/BenReacts is my Twitch. YouTube.com/BenReacts is my YouTube. I have my podcast, which is live every Sunday at 8 p.m. Pacific time, which is me and two knuckleheads, Joel and Logan, talking about games last week, which is up. It's live now on my YouTube. Talking about Sekiro and mainly Sekiro.
Okay.
Actually,
are you obsessed?
Maybe.
Yeah, I saw your Twitter name's already been changed to it, so I'd say that's pretty obsessed.
Yeah, I played about 20 hours of it.
Okay.
And that was even with coming here and being here for a little bit. So yeah, I played a lot of Sekiro. I'm not very good.
Sure.
It's a very different game. I don't know if we want to talk about that now.
Yeah, go for it.
It's very different than Souls and how that whole thing is, because...
How so? Yeah, because I mean, when I started Sekiro.
Okay.
Then Jen was looking at her phone. She was like, play it. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And I played like 30 minutes and I looked over, she's on her phone. I'm like, are you even paying attention? She's like... No, if you want to play the Division, you can. I was like, yeah. I turned it off and went back to the
Don't
Division.
Don't you want to see me suffer and die against this guy with a sword?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that game is a lot of shooting.
Yeah.
No, it's very different, because I actually heard this from a bunch of different people, that if the more you've played of Souls, the harder it's going to be for you.
Oh, really?
Because you have to unlearn so much stuff.
Because it's not as much about dodging, right? It's more about parrying,
about parrying. Yeah. It is constantly parrying, and that's something that's been present in all the Souls games, and it wasn't super important in Dark Souls. It's more important in Bloodborne because you have this whole system with it, but this game is 7 perfect parries in a row, and then you get one hit, and you get like to do your move, and it's tough. It's really tough, and it's a totally different mindset from kind of the more aggression of Bloodborne, which I started a playthrough of like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. Don't do that. Do not do that, because they play so differently, and Sekiro is stupid fast.
Yeah.
It is... it's a great game. I really enjoy it. My biggest issue with how difficult and stuff it is it's uneven. You'll get to these areas where you can stealth around and kill a bunch of dudes, and then the next area you can't stealth as easily, and you gotta fight them all.
Gotcha.
And it's not that it's hard to fight them all, it's just it doesn't fit from area to area, and then you'll go, and there'll be a mini-boss, and the mini-boss will kill you in 2 hits. And that's fine, like, if you want to do that, but it doesn't make sense when the area before it and the area after it is so much easier.
Sure.
And then there's bosses. I know we're going to get in the weeds.
Do it,
there's
man.
There's bosses like the Butterfly Lady. If you've heard the Butterfly Lady.
I have heard of the Butterfly uh-huh. Lady.
She's difficult, but she doesn't kill you in two hits. And yeah. it's a logical fight and you kind of figure it out and learn to dodge this way, dodge that way, all the different moves you can do. And then a random dude with a sword who has a name. He just happens to have a name, which basically means he fucking kills you in two hits for no reason.
Oh, fuck, here comes a named guy.
And it's like, this dude. This dude shows up and messes your shit up. And it just doesn't quite feel even. Still really enjoying it. I think
yeah, I was
going
to say, do you love it? Or are you, what, I mean, like...
Oh, man, hour to hour it changes. Like, every 5 hours with this game, I learn more about the combat system. I feel like I'm getting better and improving. But... God, like the first 3 hours, I was disappointed. I was, quite frankly, very disappointed with this game.
Wow.
It is not a Souls game.
Yeah.
In a lot of respects. Like, Bloodborne and Dark Souls, they're cut from the same cloth, but Sekiro is different.
Okay.
It is a very different game. And I mean, you don't level up in the same way. And
sure.
Instantly there, you remove a lot of the... Like, in if you got stuck in Dark Souls, you could grind. You could summon a friend in. Mm-hmm. You could do all sorts of things. You can't do any of that.
Here, you got to get good.
Yeah, you got to get good.
Yeah.
I think I've upgraded my HP like twice.
Yeah.
In 20 hours.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, good. I got a little bit more of this bar.
A little
bar.
Sliver, yeah.
And you get more attack. I've upgraded that twice. Like it's.
So do you recommend
it's a slow
it?
Burn? Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, but that's not a ringing endorsement
it's
from the
really
game
good,
fanatics.com.
Man, it's a tough game, and I really think if you're a big Souls fan, don't go into this expecting a Souls game.
Okay.
In terms of that, it's kind of, I mean, if anyone has to ask questions of if you want more information, I can answer them, but it's very different. It's not the same. It's the same spirit, the same exploration and world building.
Yeah.
But it is more of a Devil May Cry. It reminds me of Ninja Gaiden Black on
okay.
the Xbox.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
Brutal game. It reminds me of that a little bit.
All right. Ben, before we transition into the real show, two things to point out. You're a kind of funny best friend.
Yes.
And you flew yourself out here just for this.
Yes, I did.
You're another one of these crazy people.
I am very
taking
crazy.
Your shot. Or do you do... TheGameFanatics.com and the podcast and the Twitch and all stuff. Do you do that full time or do you have a job on top of all this?
I have a job. Yeah, I have a job. Full time
okay.
job.
Okay. Do you ever get tired?
I'm constantly tired. Yeah, no, this is basically, this is the make or break year, honestly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where I'm like, I'm going to put myself out there, do more. I started a game design brainstorm monthly show on my YouTube where I go into a mechanic, why I like it, why I don't like it, how can we improve it. The first episode is about ammo and item conservation in Resident Evil.
Sure.
And we could change that and kind of manipulate the player. Because I like using design to manipulate the player or invoke a feeling.
Sure, yeah.
Kind
of
the way Red Dead Redemption 2 does,
okay.
where it's forcing you to play differently and think differently.
Sure.
Dark Souls does that too.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not the hero. It's different. It's evolved the
that's
form
awesome.
A
that's a
bit.
Really, really cool idea. And that's on your YouTube channel?
On my YouTube channel. Second episode is about Tetris 99 and other games that would be good as battle royales, including Everybody's Golf.
Yeah.
Now you're speaking my language, Ben.
Golf.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah,
let's go. There, let's go,
yes.
boys. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about this PlayStation State of Play recap, ID at Xbox's Game Pass push, and EA layoffs, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can go there with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. The Kinda Funny World Tour is coming to Kansas City this Saturday. Come hang out with all of us at Planet Comic Con for panels with the cast of Smallville, Mick Foley, and Henry Winkler. Then come to our meet and greet at the Flying Saucer Draft Emporium. There's no badge needed for the meet and greet. And then don't forget, New York City, you're on the hook for April 6th. We're coming to you. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack, Tom Bach, and Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we are brought to you by Quip and Harry's, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
We're starting with PlayStation State of Play. Ben, yesterday when we were doing Games Daily, we were like, this is happening. We don't know what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It turned out it was not even... I was like, maybe it's going to be somewhere between an Xbox, the
sure.
Xbox show they do that I'm blanking
out
right now.
Yeah.
KindaFunny.com/you'rewrong, unless Barrett remembers. Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
Xbox. What does Xbox call their show that they do now?
Oh, ID Xbox. At Xbox. No.
No.
Now, I have ID at Xbox on the brain because they're the next story. Whatever. If it's going to be the Xbox show, if it's going to be a Nintendo Direct, right? And it turned out it was way more towards the Nintendo Direct side. Even more Nintendo Direct than a Nintendo Direct in some ways.
Inside Xbox.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it.
Because there was no human beings on the stage, right? It was just a disembodied voice running us through slides and games and stuff, which I thought was cool, but we'll get to that, of course, later.
Yes.
The PlayStation State of Play yesterday, they announced they'll be doing them throughout the year, so this is not a one-time thing. This was the debut of an ongoing product. It was very PlayStation VR focused, which leads me to the PlayStation blog, where Sid Schumann put up a recap and said this: "We're also very excited to reveal that we have officially sold through more than 4.2 million PlayStation VR systems worldwide as of March 3rd, 2019.
That's a big-ass number.
That's a huge-ass number of VR headset peripherals, right, that are expensive and you need to get out there. But it's awesome, I mean, as somebody who loves PlayStation VR, to see that kind of success and then to see this kind of support. So let's run through all the games at State of Play. It opened with Marvel Iron Man VR. This is from Camera. Camouflage is coming in 2019. It's being worked on by PlayStation Worldwide Studios, which of course makes it a de facto exclusive. Maybe one day it could go somewhere else, similar to like a David Cage game, like popping up on the Epic Store.
Yeah, it could, but it seems like with VR you'd want it to be everywhere, but I don't think PlayStation's throwing the money behind it, right?
But it's from Camouflage. If that sounds familiar, they're the people who made Republic. It's Ryan Payton, of course, friend of the show, who'd come in and done a whole Peace Walker discussion with me and stuff like that. Cinematic, obviously, looked great. The gameplay itself, I went back and watched it again, and I'm like, I don't know. VR is one of those things you need to have it on your face.
Yeah, it doesn't... video well.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you look at it and you're like, oof, this does look, am I on rails? Is this just basic? Because it's you shooting with your
it looked on rails
blast
to me.
And stuff, right? Which could be cool, but is it something I want to play for 8 hours or whatever like that? I need to get a headset on me. But it is, like I said, Camouflage, which is a studio I do like. I did like Republic. I do like Ryan. So, I mean, hopefully that will come around and it'll all be what I want it to be, but who knows?
We'll see. I don't have a PlayStation VR. I have an Oculus.
Son of a bitch. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I've played VR, and I really want a PlayStation VR just because they keep showing all these games.
Well, we're not even halfway through
yet.
Oh, we're going to get some more of that, and there's a question that pertains to that, Ben, okay. So we're coming back to that. They showed Crash Team Racing, some new stuff for that, of course, June 21st. No Man's Sky update, No Man's Sky Beyond. Again, just riding my coattails as always. They came out and said they're finally getting PlayStation VR. That's coming summer 2019 with the Beyond update for free. They then debuted a new game from PlayStation Worldwide Studios in Robot Entertainment, Ready Set Heroes. It's a dungeon crawler competing against an opposing team, look like teams of two. This is Robot Entertainment, like I said, 2019. Blood and Truth, a PlayStation VR game I've been talking about forever, had an awesome trailer, again, showing how great their facial animation is. And this is another one you're talking about, it doesn't video well.
That one did.
Well, I know, but when you put on PlayStation VR, and like we know from the PlayStation VR show, when you capture the footage, it just doesn't look as good like you're saying.
Yeah, no.
And like, looking at the Blood and Truth stuff, which looked good, it looks so much better on your face. When you're in the world, strapped in, and you're you're seeing somebody else's face right up close. Still looked great in the trailer. Finally got a release date, May 28th. Can't wait. Then there was a PlayStation VR sizzle reel announcing a whole bunch of dates. Mini Mech Mayhem's coming June 18th. You might remember that from the Kinda Funny Games showcase. Jupiter and Mars is coming April 22nd. I got to play this at GDC. I think Echo the Dolphin, but like with echolocation. So you're kind of going through and you have to like put out a blast to see what's around you. One of them, you have you're two different dolphins, Jupiter and Mars. They have different abilities, different attacks, stuff like that. It was fun. Can't wait. Falcon Age, April 9th. Full disclosure, again, this is a Pop Agenda represented game. I've said that before. My wife is a co-founder of that company. However, they didn't make it. And again, like I said before, Falcon Age, actually, I discovered, again, Kinda Funny Games showcase. And then when Jen watched it, she's like, I'd like to work with these people, and then made it happen.
She's a poacher.
So I came first, exactly. Okay. And I'm very excited for Falcon Age. I can't wait. I've played it in VR. I've played it with just the DualShock, which was interesting that they bundled it in with, hey, here's a bunch of PlayStation VR games, when Falcon Age is a game that can be played by anybody.
Yeah, just with the controller.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to do, not damage, but if it's actually going to hurt it in some way, or people are going to be so focused on it being a VR game, they don't realize they can play it.
Yeah, maybe so. It could hurt it.
But again, if you're PlayStation, you're trying to sell PlayStation VR units. Here's this game that's great in PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
Trover Saves the Universe was there. That's that new Justin Roiland game. So Matt, IGN put up an article today saying I think it's the most profane game of all time.
Hell yeah.
That's coming May 31st, and I can't wait. Everybody's Golf VR was there, too. That's coming May 21st. Table of Tales comes out April 16th, and then Vacation Simulator comes out June 18th. Observation was also shown. It's coming May 21st. That'll pop up again in new dates because it's also coming out on Oculus, I believe.
Good. I love that kind of 2001 Space Odyssey vibe.
Sure, yeah, where you are the space station.
You know the Lone Echo game? it's an Oculus game, so Greg's never played it.
That's true. I don't know what that is, and I don't care.
You did
and
the Lone Echo Arena.
Oh, yeah, yeah, now I know what you're talking Echo about. From Ready at Dawn.
Yes, yes. So I played a little bit of that, and that's where you're on a space station floating around.
Yeah.
And it's really, really cool, but God, it made me sick. So the fact that I'm the station in this time, and I'm looking around, I'm digging it. It's the same kind of vibe, the spooky space vibe.
Stapled out of order. Hold on.
You're the one who stapled it.
I know. I'm not blaming you, Ben.
I was just
All right. So here we go. Observation, May 21st, PlayStation 4 and Epic Games Store. That was the announcement. Are yours out of order? Be careful. Look into it.
How would
Figure
I know?
It out. Well, you know what, Ben? You said you've watched the show.
You can number
you
pages.
You said you've watched the
you
show.
You can number the pages.
He's got a point, Greg.
Shut up, Barrett. Then Five Nights at Freddy's VR is coming soon. This has some of the original levels and some new levels tossed in there. Looks scary. Barrett was getting all scared over there.
Yeah, it was.
Too spooky.
We got to make Tim play it.
Yeah, no problem. I want to make Andy play. He's the biggest coward in the office.
Tim clearly. And Andy combined, I think.
Tim and Andy combined?
Yeah.
Form their powers. One. We'll be just terrified little children.
Yes. A little pregame of that.
Then Concrete Genie came out. It was no real release date other than fall 2019, which is okay. Whatever. I thought it was a good trailer for it.
Oh, yeah, for
Concrete
sure.
Concrete Genie, as I said, watching it, I was like, this reminds me of PlayStation 3 era PlayStation. Yeah. Of like, here's a weird artsy game. Enjoy. And you're like, all right, cool.
I guess.
Yeah, and like, cool, Greg's super stoked for it. They announced the PlayStation VR mode for that as well. Then, as predicted, Days Gone got a little bit of time.
Good.
Got a really good trailer.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Again, I have been sold on Days Gone since playing, or I've been interested since playing it at E3 Judges Week. I've been sold on it since that giant delve in of like, holy shit, I'm going to play a lot. I'm going to put a lot of hours into this game. And then that trailer yesterday showed a whole bunch of shit I've never seen. I think really giving you a glimpse of how big that game is.
Yeah, it really sold the story with it.
Yeah.
It's just something it kind of sets it apart from a lot of open world games, especially with where you just get lost and you're not doing the story for hours of time.
Yep.
This seemed really story focused, and I like that a lot.
I'm just doing this now. I'm just fixing it this way, all right? There, now it's fixed.
This isn't going to cause
everybody
problems later.
Not at all. What are you calling? And then, here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
In a weird way. Closed on Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that trailer was really good.
Great trailer.
Sick.
Really
sick
good.
Sick dude. Ben, what did you think of this?
Overall?
This PlayStation.
So, going into the PlayStation party of play. What is it?
State of Play.
State of Play. Well, I hate
kind of like
name.
State of the Union.
I hate it. Yeah, that's great. Really good State of the Union we got going on. Let's evoke that feeling. So anyway, I expected two things from this. Going into it was nothing, because I like my hopes to be low.
Sure.
So that when I'm disappointed, I'm not as disappointed. And if
sure.
you went into this not expecting much, I didn't expect The Last of Us 2 date. That's crazy.
Right.
Ghost of Tsushima, no. So this was good. A lot of PSVR, fine. The other thing I expected was actually for them to kind of fumble a little bit because their first time out the gate. But not only that, they have a kind of a little bit of a messy track record in the last year or so with their E3 press conference that was weird and pushing people into different rooms.
Yeah,
and they had that sports center thing in the middle where it's like, we're talking about Call of Duty and here's a like, I don't care. Why are you doing this?
Pacing.
The pacing was off. Then they canceled PSX. PlayStation Classic, that's not really related, but not good. And then they cancel E3, and like, what are they going to do? And they notably say, we don't have much to show, which is not good. So I went into this very negative, but this was pretty flawless in terms of presentation and execution.
Yeah.
And in a way that they actually learned and did it. The Nintendo Direct is not new. It's like 8 years old.
Of course.
So it's been a long ass time for them to get to this point.
Yeah.
And they knocked it out of the park. I really think they did a fantastic job. I love the way every trailer would end and it would show the release date, the box, PR, the developer, everything was there. So well done, so sleek. It didn't need hosts. It didn't need little dumb banter or here's Tim Schafer. I mean, we love Tim Schafer.
Fuck Tim Schafer.
All right, fine.
He's a lovely man.
He's a nice dude.
He's a great guy.
I saw him leaving an IHOP once.
Oh. Yeah. That is an on-brand Tim Schafer sighting. That'd be like saying, I saw Greg Miller at Wild Wings.
It was unusual. It was during E3. But no, they did a really good job, and I'm very surprised. I'm very excited to see where this goes, because the next one could very well be, this is our June 29th or whatever, E3 State of Play.
Right.
And that's exciting.
Yesterday when we talked about it, me and Andrea, right, the biggest dream, in quotes, no pun intended, right, that I had for this, I thought the biggest announcement we might get out of it was, hey, here's the Dream's release date,
exactly.
Right?
That's what I was expecting.
And I thought you'd end on that. But even that's pretty big. And so then we did the whole thing of like, well, what if it was Last of Us Part 2 thing? But I was like, there's no way.
There's
I said
no
from
way.
The get-go, no way, right?
Yeah.
I thought personally, that PlayStation did a good job of setting the hype levels for this. Mm-hmm. In terms of, hey, everybody, it's going to be a bunch of PlayStation VR stuff, some new announcements, some new games, which I thought was like, okay, cool. And on the other side of it, right, when it was happening yesterday, I infamously now tweeted out, right? This is awesome. I'm having a great time. Yeah. It's like a mini E3. There's no fat, right? Oh, I am still being dragged through the Twitter streets and beaten right now about that.
People were expecting way too much.
But I don't know where they got that expectation. They got that expectation, I guess.
Perhaps because Nintendo Directs for the last like 4 or 5 or so have been really good.
Yeah, but that's the thing is like...
But you can't expect that from this.
Here's the thing is like, sit here and you just said it yourself though, but to be objective, right? This is a really good show. Like, it was a solid show. It was a good show. As somebody who likes PlayStation VR and likes PlayStation, I was like, fuck man, you're delivering. You guys haven't given release dates on things in forever, and let alone given the spotlight to these kind of games. This is what I as a PlayStation fucking coverage guy for 12 years miss about the old E3s, where it would
the
be
little smaller.
Hey, guess
titles.
What? I'm Adam Boys, and here's a bunch of indie crap to show you right next to the big AAA stuff.
Yeah,
and
I think.
Go ahead.
So, with the problem is perhaps that we have the Nindies and we have the Nintendo Directs, and this was more of a not a Nindies, but like a VR Indie, Vindies,
sure,
or whatever.
Vindies.
Instead, and if you went into it expecting the AAA big hitters, you got the Nindie instead,
sure.
And so it's just a different. And if you don't have VR, which only 4 million only,
only
4 million,
yeah, I know what you mean.
You're disappointed because it's like another VR game, another VR game, another VR game. And I can understand the frustration with that, but you're still getting Days Gone and all that
like,
shit.
I like that they did this as their first one, where it was like, hey, here's how we're going to set this bar. And like, we're going to take, I'm sure we're going to take lumps about this, and people are, of course, going to be cranked up, wanting it to be Death Stranding release date in a demo or whatever.
Yeah, God.
But now they can build on that. And, you know, at the end of it, when we finished it all, and it was like, oh, man, Mortal Kombat 11, that was a weird way to end, I felt. Mm-hmm. It's also a realistic way to end, because you can't, if they ended with, hey, here's Last of Us Part 2's release date, then guess what? Every time they do a state of play, everyone's going to be like, it's going to be earth-shattering. Like, I think right now you do these enough of them where, like, hey, here's a solid drip of information and trailers about games you wouldn't normally care about, but you'll find 2 or 3 in there you do care about. They can then, on the third one, pepper in something big, but people are going to know what the expectation level should be set at.
Yeah. And it was smart to do it now and not have the first one be, oh, it's June 10th.
Yeah.
Here's our first one. And especially if you came up with this June 10th.
Oh, yeah.
Then I can see being disappointed.
Yeah,
then
I
can get 100% behind that's not a good show.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the pre before the storm.
It's March,
It's March.
March Madness, as they say.
March Madness.
You know? This is what they're talking about when they say March Madness, I think. Right?
Fact check that.
Yeah. So it's been interesting where I think a lot of people liked it, but then obviously the negative part of Twitter and the internet makes it seem like everybody hated it.
Yeah.
And so it's been interesting looking at pundits be like, oh man, that was a really good case. And then fans be like, oh my God, I'm really offended by it. Or like, there was a guy who was like, I said that, you know, man, this is great, or whatever. And the guy responded, he's like, amazing? It was one of those things, there's 20 minutes I wish I could get back in my life. And I'm like,
it's 20 minutes,
what the fuck, man? Like, I love video games and seeing new video games and news about video games. Like, these games looked cool.
If you watched that and didn't like one thing out of it, I don't know why you own a PlayStation. Like, period. Why? Because at least half of that stuff should have hit.
Yeah,
even if you don't have VR. I want VR now.
Yeah, like, I get the fact of like, okay, cool. Yeah, Concrete Genie wasn't for me or something, right?
It's
like,
not
okay,
for me. So
whatever. Yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's not for me. Iron Man, the gameplay looks weird, right? But I mean, all right, beyond No Man's Sky, you're getting VR. That's cool. Crash Team Racing is cool, which, by the way, Kebabs wrote in and said, the new stuff for Crash Team Racing Remake was the inclusion of all 13 tracks and the battle arenas from the PS2 sequel, Crash Nitro Kart, which wasn't developed by Naughty Dog. Thank you. At the end yesterday, when we did the recap,
they said there was something exclusive.
And a new goodies. And like, we watched it and we're like, I don't know what it is, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
But like, to your point from the very beginning when you were talking about it, I loved the brisk pace.
Yes.
I love here's the information. We're not going to hold it on anything too long. And yeah, we don't need a host. We don't need a talking point. You get to see the slides. You get in, you get out. What's next? What's here? What's there? I love that they put the information on screen. Like, I know that sounds so stupid.
No, but a lot of developers don't do that right.
That was such a big deal for us with the showcase, where when I was like, hey, we're going to do montages. But I told everybody in the showcase emails, right? We're not going to do shitty montages. We're going to do montages where we talk about your game over it. We show the dates and platforms and everything there. So people actually get information out of it rather than it be a sizzle reel of that game in the middle looked cool, but I don't know what it was.
There were like 3 years in a row where Xbox did that and they kept showing amazing indie games, but I didn't know what any of them were. And it was so fresh and still half of them aren't even out. But you know, it's tough when you're a sizzle reel is always tough. for that.
Let's
did a good job.
Bring in some reader mail from patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Parker Beagle wrote in and said, "Yo, Greg, Ben, and the Kinda Funny crew. Sony showed off some pretty cool shit in the State of Play broadcast. I am beginning to save up for a PlayStation VR head, or I'm sorry, for a VR headset, and Sony is starting to sway me. Plus, I want Beat Saber so bad it hurts. Is it worth investing in PlayStation VR right now, though? The Oculus Quest is set to release as a wireless unit in 2019. That does not require a PC. Do you think PlayStation is working on a new model similar to Quest? Would this next holiday season be too soon for something like that? Should I wait to see or just say fuck it and buy a PlayStation VR? I feel like either way I'm rolling the dice, but would appreciate any insight." Ben, what's your
take? I feel like they're not going to do a Quest thing.
You don't think so?
The fact that this device launched using the Move controllers
doesn't
really instill a lot of, like, oh, we're thinking ahead here. They're thinking backwards.
Hey, remember those things you have in like the bottom of your sock drawer? Can you get that out for me?
If you even bought it.
Yeah.
Right. But I do think this is a good time. I don't know if it's really going to get better. We got the Oculus doing new stuff now, but that doesn't mean PlayStation has to. And with PS5... and maybe they release new controllers, new headset, you're still going to get a good experience. I mean, you can attest to this. It's not a bad experience.
I love my PlayStation. It's good enough is what we always say,
right? It's good enough.
Right?
And you do have stuff like Astrobot and Beat Saber.
Oh, you have a library.
Yeah, you've got a lot of good games. Moss.
My thing would be this, Parker. You've come this far. I would wait until E3. Because it was last weekend, right, that there was the patent surfaced that, hey, Sony got approved for a wireless PlayStation VR patent. Using the connector box there and having the wireless. So it's not wireless like Oculus Quest is. Because if you haven't heard me...
Yeah, that's like completely...
If you haven't heard me rant and rave about the religious experience that was Oculus Quest, where you put it on, it's just the two controllers and the headset, and that's it. Like, no PC, no cameras, no setup. Like, that thing's amazing. PlayStation VR will be, obviously, just a wireless headset still... Now, this is all hypothetical. Wireless headset anchored to the box or whatever it is in the room.
Yeah.
I would say just wait until E3 and see if they do that there. Because the one thing about it would be, I don't think they're going to do a PSVR wireless or a PSVR 2 at the same year they do PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to do PlayStation 5 at this E3. So I think you either have to do it this E3 or you have to do it after PlayStation 5's already out.
I think it makes more sense to do it after PS5 because now you can say, we got all this new horsepower. Here's the new VR headset. You're in a new ecosystem. You can kind of launch with that, with new controllers, with new whatever.
But then you have to worry about, like, right, the financial impact where somebody's sitting there thinking about, I'm buying a PlayStation 5. I need new controllers, assumedly.
Sure.
I need whatever. And then on top of that, a new headset. And on top of that, a new whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you could put it out first, get it to early adopters, and then have it future-proofed in, right? It's already built to do whatever it needs to do with PlayStation 5.
But theoretically, a new headset would work with all these VR games anyway.
Sure, yeah.
So you could just not buy a PS5 and buy a new VR and just get stuck in your virtual world.
And then, so Parker, to your second part, you're talking about PlayStation VR. Is it worth it? So let's stop there. Yes, PlayStation VR is worth it. I've said that for years, obviously, or for a long time now, since we did the last PlayStation VR show. We're preparing for the next one right now. But that library is incredible. I think going forward, you can already see they're still supporting it and making really cool shit and doing cool partnerships. You know, whether or not this Iron Man game is anything more than just like, okay, just being that.
Yeah.
It's still fucking cool that PlayStation negotiated an exclusive with Marvel Games to get this thing there, right? Like, again, it shows commitment to get out there and try and experiment and do things.
They're very committed.
Oculus Quest, again, like I said, religious experience of putting that on and how crazy it was. I thought it's got better hand tracking, and I only played Beat Saber. It's got better hand tracking than PlayStation VR did. I think it looks better than PlayStation VR does. However, and I'm not, as you know, the PC guy. The fact that it's all contained to that one unit is going to limit the kind of games it can run and what they're going to look like compared to their other Oculus counterparts and so on and so forth.
Yes. Well, and also with Oculus, you get the two screens, one for each eye. And there's two cameras. Well, at least with the standalone Oculus that you get at your house, there's two cameras. So it's going to be better tracking. It's going to be better than the PSVR. And that's what I'd like to see for the future of PSVR, is getting those multiple cameras. So it is going to track better, getting a better screen. So I don't know. It really is tough, but it's so cheap now. Like, there were those bundles for like $200 with Astrobot and like three games.
And Moss and stuff like the Beat Saber, Moss, Astrobot.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think if you bought it now, you wouldn't go wrong, but I don't want to tell you to buy it now and then
definitely
have it
wait
be,
a couple months.
Yeah. E3. If you can make it to E3, make it to E3 and see what they do there, because that would be the next time they do something with it, and I think that'd be radical. Alex Russ writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Sony seems to be doubling down on its VR venture, as shown by their State of Play presentation. It's been a much more affordable and lower barrier to entry experience compared to that of Vive or Rift, but the new Oculus Quest seems to be also making moves to be accessible as well. It's great to see Sony continue to support VR, as they usually quickly drop new ventures, Move, PlayStation 4i, etc. But do they truly have the gusto to overcome the now much cheaper alternative of Oculus Quest? It's just the purchase of a headset, whereas PlayStation 4 requires both console and headset purchase. We kind of touched on this.
How much is the Quest?
Quest is going to be $400, I think.
How is that cheaper than PSVR? Oh, because you have to have the unit.
You don't have to buy the headset. Hold on, okay. One second. I still think the one thing that'll hold back the Quest is going to be, everybody always wants their shit to be as cool as possible, right? So the fact of, do you want to buy an Oculus Quest when you know that, well,
fidelity.
Yeah, I could go up a little bit higher, but then I need the PC and blah, blah. You know you're getting a less than experience on a brand that you could have more than, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I think PlayStation VR, there's just PlayStation VR. Sure, there's a screen door effect. Sure, hand tracking could be better, but it's good enough, as Tim and I always say. So what do you do now when you look there and you're like, well, how do I?
$400 is very different than $200 or even $300. Yeah. So I think if you're looking for good enough, why not get the PSVR?
I think the PlayStation especially. VR already has enough of the barriers knocked down, right? Where it's like you already have the PlayStation VR. You already have the PlayStation 4 in your apartment.
Yes.
And the other thing, you already have proven games for it. That's the biggest thing with Oculus Quest, right? Like, don't get me wrong, Beat Saber ran great. There's a few other games that are announced for it. However, do you know what they're going to continue to do, or how are developers going to continue to support it in an interesting way?
A lot of the coolest games I've played in Oculus are more demanding.
Yeah.
So I'd have to see the tech specs of the Quest, but it does seem that's a great entry point, really, because you don't need the PC, you don't need all this extra stuff.
Don't get me wrong, I'm super stoked for Oculus Quest. I'm hoping they're sending me one, probably, based on what we're doing before for reviews and stuff for the office. But if they didn't, this is something I would gladly buy. Because, yes, as I've said before on Gamescast, right, like, my Beat Saber exercise regimen ended because I went to Quebec and I didn't want to bring my PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR. And I'm going, you know, tomorrow to Chicago before I go to Kansas City. It's like, if I could bring this and toss it in my bag and just have it ready to go and, like, no problem.
Yeah, and that's very appealing. I think a lot of people would go for that because we often, in our sphere, we get stuck in our like hardcore gamer mentality.
Oh, yeah.
But the larger consumer market might take more to the Quest. If you don't need anything else, you just pick that up and go. Yeah,
and that's going to be what's so fascinating about it is I really do wonder if this, because like right now, the things they're promoting on their website for games, right, are Star Wars something, Vader Immortal, Moss, which we already know is amazing, The Climb, which is the Insomniac game, right? Like, those are great games. Beat Saber is a great game. And again, Beat Saber is a game you get when you put it on. Yeah. And I've had people come to my house. My mom did Let's Plays with us for Kind of Funny with PlayStation VR. Jen's friends who are like from the restaurant business have come through and used our PlayStation VR. Everybody loves it. And then when they ask about it, it's like, how much is it? And it's like, well, you got to buy the console and then the sticks are this and then the headset. And it's like, well, that's way too much. You're right that, hey, here it is. One box. Everything's ready to go. Get it. You know what I mean? Like, that is impressive, but also $400 still is
$400
for a luxury item, a luxury gaming experience for you might not be that big of a gaming person.
Yeah, and especially when you can buy $400, you can get the actual Oculus.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay. But then I gotta buy a PC. I gotta get my drivers, my TurboTax. You know what I mean?
I did file my own taxes with my my PC. Yeah, and I love Minesweeper too. PC gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, PC gaming. It's cool. I know. It's the best. Don't worry about it. I'm interested to see. I think the Quest is going to be awesome. Like, I literally, when I finished it, I was like, holy shit, I'm buying this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's
like,
great.
I'm going to have this when it happens on day one way or the other. I'm fascinated to see what it does. I'm still so happy that VR exists. You know what I mean? Because I know that sounds goofy, but like, it was when they launched PlayStation VR, there was part of, in the back of my brain, right? Of like, I know you've all talked a good game about this, but I've also seen you abandon all sorts of things in my 12 years.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they didn't, and the fact that it's still thriving, and the fact they're still giving it its own presentations, and even though the Vita's fallen away now, they're talking about PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR, like those are their tent poles. Like, that's awesome.
That's really cool. I think it's impressive that they're doing that. I think they kind of have to when you spend that much money in R&D and you have competitors, it kind of makes it look like a thriving market, maybe more than it actually is. Mm-hmm. Because 4 million isn't huge. Spider-Man sold more than all the VR units combined, probably.
I forget, you know what I mean? Like, that's, what, we're well over.
So, obviously, it's not a huge mass market thing. It's a niche product.
Yeah.
And then a Quest is a niche within a niche.
And you'll see. But, like, Quest being easy. That's the thing. It's easy to use, right? You can do it, you can grab it, you can be done with it. I think it'll be an interesting way to get people in. Plotus is keeping me honest, and you are wrong. The Climb is actually being developed by Crytek, not Insomniac.
My apologies,
everyone. As if PlayStation State of Play wasn't exciting enough, this morning, Xbox did ID at Xbox Game Pass, their own presentation. And now, while I said State of Play, right, was more of a Nintendo Direct than most Nintendo Directs, ID at Xbox Game Pass was very much a Nintendo Direct, hosted by Chris Sharla and a woman whose name I forget. I wasn't familiar with her.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, really?
I was coming here.
you saw the Nindies showcase, right?
Yeah.
With Kirk. Kirk and Katie. Same idea. Hey, everybody, welcome to this thing. We're going to see this game now. We see the game, we come back. That was cool, blah, blah, blah. And then they sprinkle in a couple longer developer things where for Outer Wilds and then for After Party, where the devs had like a package where they talked about the game and did stuff. So what they did here, right, they talked about all these ID at Xbox games that are coming to Xbox Game Pass day and date. So these are all day one releases on Xbox Game Pass, including Killer Queen Black, which will have 8 players of multiplayer, which we can't wait for. We love it. Outer Wilds, which is the one where it's like the weird, we have a spaceship, we're going up out of the forest, it's made of wood, we're trying to survive. Yeah. You keep rewinding time, doing it over and over again. Void Bastards.
That was a cel-shaded whatever one?
Yeah, it's the one that... Kindoffunny.com/wrong. It's the one that I believe is made by the guys who did the original Bioshock, right? Like some of them, and they're running around, maybe System Shock. You're running around talking to people, doing all that stuff. Yeah, it looks cool. Then it was Operancina, which is one that debuted at the Kind of Funny Games Showcase from the Zen Studio that isn't doing Zen Pinball now. Supermarket Shriek, The Good Life, After Party, which still looks fucking amazing. Have you been keeping track of this? It's from Night School. These are the guys who did Oxenfree.
Oh, gotcha.
Now it's this one where you and your friend go to hell, and like but there's a loophole that if you can outdrink Satan, you can
get
out of it.
Okay, I remember.
And so like that, I would say like in general. Again, fuck me, according to the internet, for liking watching games getting debuted. Yeah. But fuck you, Greg! I would encourage you to go watch the ID at Xbox Game Pass, just in general. It's like, I think, 20 minutes of just, hey, here's a bunch of games. But the After Party thing, if you're not sold on After Party, watching them, because it's them talking about it while they show the gameplay, and it's not them doing a Let's Play, it's them just talking and having B-roll. Seems cool. The different drinks you get that then change like how your character interacts and what they can do and if they talk with a pirate accent and stuff. I'm like,
okay,
yeah, fuck yeah. I'm all about this game. Totally. And then Blazing Chrome was the other one. Again, all these games are day one releases on Game Pass, which is cool as Xbox continues to fucking crush and make Game Pass totally worth it.
Game Pass is incredible.
Right.
I love Game Pass.
And it's another one of like where you get Killer Queen Black on here. And this is, I'm speaking for me, right? The list of games here, Killer Queen Black and After Party, right? Games that I will pay you full price for, and I can't wait for it. Killer Queen Black, definitely going to be, for me, probably a Switch game, because I think we'll play in the office and be able to connect and fight other people more. However, if this streaming Xbox One S is real, and it's $100 fucking, and then you can get even bundled in with a Game Pass or pay $10 a month for Game Pass or whatever, think about like what they're doing with Game Pass right now. Where, hey, yeah, all these indie games that people actually care about are coming day and day. All the first party stuff we're putting out day and day. Sea of Thieves continues to get updated. Master Chief Collection. Like, the list goes on of just like, what an incredible offensive Xbox is slowly building.
Oh, yeah. It's taken years, but they've really come back strong. And I bought an Xbox last November for like Black Friday kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I have taken so much to it. It has immediately just gotten rid of my PS4 in terms of multi-platform. Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's quiet.
Preaching the choir on that one, man.
It's fucking quiet. But everything runs better on there. And then I get Game Pass. And they were running deals where it was $1 for a month.
Yeah.
And I played some incredible games. There's a lot of really good stuff. I played Crackdown 3 through this.
Yeah.
Which was actually fun.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry, internet.
I mean, you're allowed to. Did you thought it was like, scores fine?
It was fine.
Scores, yeah, exactly.
It was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Get over it. What'd you expect? It wasn't the Last of Us 2.
What do you mean? This game's been in development forever. It should be perfect.
It's Crackdown 3. You should not have expected more.
Capitalist Pig correcting me. Thank you. So the woman with Chris was Sarah Condy, who I was not familiar with visually. The name sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar.
But yeah, Chris Charlie, which we nailed in then. And then Void Bastards. This is from Nanobiologist. The developer was made by the developer of System of Shock 2. So we were right on the money there.
Gotcha.
Number three, sad news. EA has laid off 350 in marketing, publishing, and analytics. I'm going to start with the statement from Andrew Wilson, the CEO of Electronic Arts. Today, we took some important steps as a company to address our challenges and prepare for the opportunities ahead. As we look across the changing world around us, it's clear that we must change with it. We're making deliberate moves to better deliver on our commitments, refine our organization, and meet the needs of our players. As part of this, we have made changes to our marketing and publishing organization, our operations team, and we are ramping down our current presence in Japan and Russia as we focus on different ways to serve our players in those markets. In addition to organizational changes, we are deeply focused on increasing quality in our games and services. Great games will continue to be at the core of everything we do, and we are thinking differently about how to amaze and inspire our players. This is a difficult day. The changes we're making today will impact about 350 roles in our 9,000-person company. These are important but very hard decisions, and we do not take them lightly. We are friends and colleagues at EA. We appreciate and value everyone's contributions, and we are doing everything we can to ensure we are looking after our people to help them through this period to find their next opportunity. This is our top priority. I had seen Jason Schreier at Kotaku break this. He then updated his story with this. Later, an EA representative added that the company would be providing severance to laid off employees. Quote, yes, we are working with employees to try and find other roles inside the company, the spokesperson said. For those that are leaving the company, we will also be providing severance and other resources. I'm not able to provide the details on the severance, but we work hard to be as helpful as we possibly can. One person, this is back to Schreier, one person who works in one of the affected departments told Kotaku this morning that these layoffs have been expected for a while now, and that EA had put hiring and travel freezes on marketing for several months. People within marketing and publishing had been expecting a reorganization since at least October, the person said. Quote, I think some people will be relieved to not be in limbo anymore, they said. Obviously, you know, well wishes, thoughts to them, hashtag game jobs and all that jazz is yet again, EA tries to course correct here, right? And figure this all out.
Is it, so it said Russia and Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as they ramp down their stuff.
Is it primarily those places, just those two places?
I think the way they phrased it, right?
That's what it sounded like.
As part of this, we've made changes to our marketing publishing organization, our operations team, and we are ramping down our current presence in Japan and Russia.
Okay.
So I don't think necessarily,
it's not just there,
I think those are jobs all over the map. I think,
yeah,
and then on top
I mean,
of that.
It's tough. EA's been going through kind of a weird phase.
Right, yeah, with these layoffs already. Yeah. Why not? Pete writes in, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and says, Happy Tuesday, Greg and Ben. It seems like every week we're hearing about new layoffs from major publishers. Why do you think this year has so many layoffs already? Is there something systematically unhealthy with the industry, or is it just course correcting in the face of rapidly evolving industry? We've talked about it before, and again, I'm not a business guy. I'm not on the inside. I think it's course correction for companies that stretch too far. I think EA thought when EA had explosive growth, everything was going really well. And so they just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, thinking that would continue on forever or knowing that this day would come eventually. And then when it is, you retract based on what's happening. And so as we saw, you know, at the financial year, right, with even Take-Two having the whole thing of like, well, Red Dead Online wasn't as successful as we thought it would be. So that's a problem. We're going to do this. Our stocks are going down a little bit. Or you're at a point where expectations are one thing, and when stockholders are seeing them and having them, that's the real thing you have to reverberate across. Not, you know, how it's the same thing with Activision, right? Where it was like Activision Blizzard of, hey, record years, record sales this year. We're laying off a bunch of people, right? Because even you can have that, you can break records, but if your expectations are beyond those records, because you were looking into the crystal ball and you made this projection that was aggressive, but then it was actually conservative, you have a problem.
Yeah, and it seems like EA's Battlefield 5 underperformed. Obviously, Anthem's a little rough right now. Even going back to Mass Effect Andromeda, like, it's kind of been a rough couple of years with the Star Wars, just laying off whole teams and getting rid of... It's been a rough time.
And they've lost a lot of leadership over there, too, with shakeups, right? I mean, Peter Moore left, and that was a while ago, but in the same vein of what we're talking about. And then that other guy whose name escapes me, but kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, who was always out there in the suit. He left, too.
I'm bad with names.
Patrick Wilson? Is that right? That's Weezer's drummer, Patrick Wilson.
Perfect. He's now in charge of EA.
No, Patrick.
Breaking news. Keep making
albums.
Breaking
this. I think it's just a bunch of shakeups over there. And I think it is just the writing on the wall that they were too aggressive. I think it's telling that you're seeing it be EA and Activision and these big name publishers, right? That it's like, hey, we grew too fast, or we just grew too much, and now we have to retract a bit.
Yeah, we promised too much to shareholders. We cannot deliver this. Someone has to, unfortunately, go.
Yeah. So yeah, again, I think I'm not the industry analyst in terms of the business side of it, but I still don't think it's as bad as when I was coming up through games journalism working at IGN, and it seemed like every summer or every spring when they'd, hey, we've gone gold in our game, we are laying off all these people we brought on to finish our game. It seems like game development, and I know there's a lot of problems with game development and crunch and unions, and I'm not even trying to touch on all that. Game development at most AAA or big developers have figured out a sustainable way of keeping people around and keeping their teams the right size and doing all that. And now it seems to be reverberating back through publishers of, do we need this big of a marketing team? You know what I mean? And marketing obviously isn't even the way to fix it, because you can market Anthem all you want, but when it gets there and people are like, it's content bare,
public reception,
you can't solve that with a good commercial.
No. It's weird. Has Ubisoft had any major layoffs? Because they're the other big, of the big publishers.
Yeah.
They're the only one that's just on all cylinders. They've had that figured out.
I can't remember the last time I heard of an Ubisoft restructuring or layoff thing. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. Again,
they're killing it.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if I'm missing it or whatever. But again, when Vivendi was coming at them, they were like, well, EA's bigger than Ubi.
Sure, but they're in public reception. They've never been.
Oh, sure, public reception. Well, I mean, yeah, that's the other thing too, is like the hate pile is so large. Oh, if it was a bar graph, right? Yeah, even Ubisoft would like, hey man, we're putting microtransactions in that you can buy your XP in Assassins. Yeah. Everybody's like, that kind of sucks. Fine. I'm mad about that. I think. Am I mad? I don't know. And then EA's like, hey everybody, we fucking are doing this. And everybody's really pissed off. Well, fuck them.
Burned to the ground.
We'll get back to you, Ubi. We'll have things to say about this if we actually are mad about it. We're not sure, but we're gonna go get them.
Yeah, easy fodder.
It all keeps chasing.
Yeah.
Number four, we have confirmation and a comment from Sony that yes, they are pulling download codes from retail. This is James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Responding to a request from GamesIndustry.biz, a Sony Interactive Entertainment spokesperson said, I can confirm that as of April 1st, 2019, we will no longer be offering full games through SIE's Global Digital in Retail Global Digital at Retail program. The decision was made in order to align key businesses globally. To support full games and premium editions, SIE will introduce increased denominations at select retailers. DLC, add-ons, virtual currency, and season passes will still be available. End quote. The shared memo says any codes already on shelves are expected to be deactivated by the end of month, with customers who pre-ordered a digital code via GameStop encouraged to switch to a physical version of the game. That's back to the actual memo from GameStop. My apologies. It also claims there will be two exceptions, which we didn't talk about yesterday. Days Gone and Mortal Kombat 11, presumably as these are too close to launch to cancel. This is solely a Sony decision. Nintendo and Microsoft will continue selling full download title through brick and mortar stores. So just an update that yes, that is real, and there you go. So that's what we're going to do. Here it is. Capitalist Pig says, are you talking about Patrick Soderlund? I am talking about Patrick Soderlund. Yes, that's the man I was talking about who left. Number five, and finally, Global Gaming Citizens categories of the Game Award nominations are open. This is from Game Awards official. The Game Awards and Facebook Gaming are once again looking for inspiring stories of people using the power of games to build community. First recognized at the Game Awards 2018, Global Gaming Citizens recognizes gamers, game developers, or anyone from anywhere in the world with a unique story of using the power of games to bring about positive change. The 2018 honorees include Steven Spahn, COO of Able Gamers, friend of the show, Sadia Bashir, founder of Pixel Art Games Academy in Pakistan, and Luau Mayan, CEO and founder of Junub Games. If you or someone you know deserves to be recognized, submit an application at globalgamingcitizen.com. While submissions can be made year-round, the next round of entries will be considered based on applications submitted by April 12th, 2019. So you have less than a month to get these in for Game Awards 2019. Such a cool program that they did last year, right? Because I've known, obviously, as a Trendy Gamer Award winner, right?
Yes.
There was so much, every year, so much flack of like, why are we doing this popularity contest thing where it's just going to be whoever's popular at the moment for streaming or whatever? And so I know that Jeff and team sat there and really thought about what to do. And I think that the Gaming Global Citizen is such a cool way to do it.
That's a nice way to promote positivity and actually growth within the industry in a better way than, hey, you're nice on Twitch.
Exactly. 100%. Right. And so, I mean, obviously, Steven getting recognized last year was awesome.
That was great.
That was a big part of it. I'm going to come back, Ben, and give you a really bad transition, but we've been having such a great show, so much meaty news. I'm going to put the ads here.
Big shot.
We're brought to you today by Quip. One of the most important things you can do for your health every day is brushing your teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and engineers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. People brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides with your Quip, helping guide you to a full and even clean. 90% of us don't brush for the full 2 minutes and don't clean evenly. A multi-use cover mounts to your mirror and unmounts to the side, mounts to slide over your bristles for on-the-go brushing. As you all know, I love my Quip, and I will be doing this tomorrow morning. Ooh. Brush them, then the cover over it, into the bag. Let's go to Chicago. What do you got, Barry?
I just got my Quip last week.
You
loving
stoked? You bringing it to Kansas City this weekend?
I'm not going to that.
Oh, that's weird. You're invited.
That's weird.
Quip doesn't require a clunky charger and offers 3 months on one charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. That's why I love Quip. Of course, don't forget, I think my teeth look better because of it. I've been drinking coffee today. Hold on. So that, you know, imagine a little bit wider. That's why I love Quip, and they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/games right now, you get the first refill pack for free with your Quip electric toothbrush. Get your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Up next, Harry's. Harry's founders were tired of paying up for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. They knew a great shave doesn't come from gimmicks like vibrating heads, flex balls, or handles that look like spaceships. Tactics, the leading brand has been using to raise their prices for decades. They've fixed that by combining a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. They've received over 20,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot and Google. Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each. That's half the price of the Gillette Fusion Pro Shield. All Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and you'll get a full refund. How do we know you'll love them? Tim loves it. He uses it to keep that trademark Tim Tam beard all trimmed up nice. And Tim has the best looking beard above us. Don't tell Nick. He'll get mad. But that's just how it is. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. The weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. Listeners of our show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/gamesdaily. Make sure you go to harrys.com/gamesdaily to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to support the show. Ben, I can't wait to see all the Kind of Funny best friends on the world tour with their Harry's beards all trimmed up nice, but it's still so far away. If I wanted to know something more immediate, like say what came to the mom and grop digital shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Greg sucks.
What the fuck, man?
No,
what?
No.
Bear.
Yeah.
Why?
Fuck you.
You just turned up. What did I do?
Give me shit about Kansas City.
He invited you.
Oh, yeah, I did do that. No, you're right. I did. That's fair. I had that coming. Out today, Xenon Racer on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Farlap Horse Racing Challenge on PlayStation 4. You know I need to see a Farlap trailer.
Farlap. Hold on.
Is that a horse term?
That's number 2 on the out today. Farlap. Pharlap. All one word. Outward on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The Walking Dead, the final season, episode 4, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. That's the final episode for this season. See how Clem's journey ends. I'm going to do it right after this. Skyworld on PlayStation 4. 7 Enhanced Edition on PlayStation 4 and PC. Power Rangers, Battle for the Grid on Xbox One and Switch. Throw it up for people can see. We're looking right now at Farlap.
Yeah, about what I expected.
It is, it's a horse racing game, all right. There you go. You're
Yeehaw.
Just running from behind. Seems, I'll check. Somebody remind me to check on the Platinum because I need to know about this.
Oh, God.
Space Junkies on PlayStation 4 and PC. Generation Zero on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Nelki and the Legendary Altarios of the New World on PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. Danganronpa Trilogy on PlayStation 4. MLB The Show 19 on PlayStation 4. Grim Shade on PC. Air Conflict, Secret War on Switch. War Theater on PlayStation 4. The Princess Guide on PlayStation 4 and Switch. Path of Exile on PlayStation 4. OMG Zombies on Switch. The Legend of Heroes, Trials of Cold Steel on PlayStation 4. Target Races in Red Dead Online are out now. Game of Thrones Winter is Coming, a real-time strategy PC browser game, is out today. Waves of the Atlantentide is out today on Steam. And then we got two new dates for you, right? I crushed it. That was a lot of fun.
That was great work.
April 3rd, you can Bow to Blood Last Captain Standing on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And then, as I said earlier in the show, Observation is coming to Epic Game Store and PlayStation 4 on May 21st. Lord almighty. What do you got from there?
A couple people in the chat are saying Final Fantasy VII is out on Switch today.
Never heard of it.
Huh. Oh. Did not know that one. They're allowed to have it. I guess whatever. It's not the new one that's coming out eventually, right? The episodic one? Drop today.
I'm scared that it's like the mobile port that they're putting on Switch. Probably. Because that was not a good port.
New dates for, deals of the day for you today. Killing Floor 2 and Rising Storm 2 Vietnam are free this week on Steam with the first of their 2019 updates. And then we got the list of Xbox games with gold for you coming up here in April. The Technomancer is available for free April 1st to the 30th on Xbox One. Outcast Second Contact is available April 16th to May 15th on Xbox One. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is available April 1st to the 15th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And then Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 is available April 16th through the 31st on Xbox One and Xbox 360. Reader mail. Well, we already put so much into the news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Big day.
Saucy Biscuit says, what's up, KFGD crew? I just wanted to know if you think it's possible for Beat Saber to come to Switch.
Okay.
Much like Tetris Effect, people say VR is superior, but standard can be fun too. Do you think this could happen?
Oh.
I can just imagine bundling this with standard and rumored pro version of the Switch and it killing in sales. Anything is possible, right? Cuphead is on Switch now, after all.
Yeah.
Saucy Biscuit.
It's not too crazy to, because we had all those waggle games.
Yeah.
And you could do it. It works. The motion works with Switch. It's conceivably possible.
That's my thing. At first, I don't want to laugh you out of the room or whatever. I'm just like, oh, that's weird. And then you think about it, you're like, you know what? They make such a big deal about the HD rumble gyroscopes, all that jazz, that I kind of could see it, that you could do it.
The only thing you couldn't do is the ducking.
Right. Yeah. It'd have to be a Switch version, right? Where you couldn't do the ducking, unless for some reason it was based on.
You can turn that off. Obstacles off.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. You can. Beat Saber's got so many different things.
Yeah. So,
theoretically,
maybe?
I guess it could. I wouldn't hold your breath for it to be soon, but I imagine that when they're done with everything else they've done, why not? Why not get it?
You got to hold the cardboard to your head, and then you have one.
It's
going to
be that Labo VR one, and you'll be all set to go.
Perfect.
So, yeah, it's possible. It's an interesting wrinkle I didn't think about. I could see it, but it really does. I mean, Beat Saber's already sold 1 million units, right? They made a big deal about, as they should. The question becomes, obviously they want to do DLC, as they already have been. I'm sure they want to work on a Beat Saber 2. But then getting to Switch would be a really smart idea, actually. Saucy Biscuit, you've won me over.
Yeah,
do it, Beat
bad.
Saber, you cowards.
You can't.
MSG Heavy Arms writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Ben, just wanted to give a shout out to the nanobiologist for gifting me a sub yesterday. You're awesome and thank you. Best friends, have a wonderful day. Well, it's just nice. If you didn't know, if you watch on Twitch, there's subs and stuff, and you can be a sub to yourself. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. Even if you're not watching ever on Twitch, you're just listening on your tractor.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great when you got home if you logged in Amazon Prime, then you Googled Twitch Prime, then you clicked on it and used your free subscription on us. You got to do it every 30 days. You got to remember to do it. But you can also give them to each other. And so it's nice to see the nanobiologist taking care of MSG Heavy Arms. Ben?
Yes.
I ask people watching to write in with their names, usernames, platforms of choice to be squatted up. This is where best friends can play with each other and everybody has a good time. Jimmy needs help on Xbox One. Jimmy's Xbox username is one, spelled out, so O-N-E, one arm wonder 828. I am an adaptive gamer and college student looking for best friends to play Apex Legends with. As my name suggests, I have one hand, but don't be fooled. I have no problem keeping up with all you two-handed players out there. Let's play some Apex Legends together. Hey, do you play Apex Legends, ladies and gentlemen, on the Xbox One? Hit up One Arm Wonder. One arm, not armed. One Arm Wonder 828 and play some Apex together. Ben?
Yes.
We asked the people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Let's see what we got here. Nanobiologist says that there is a subtitle for the Five Nights at Freddy games called Help Wanted. That is correct.
Why would you work there? Don't respond to that. Help Wanted.
Don't go there. No,
I gotta pay rent.
Yeah.
Haven't you heard the stories?
Yeah.
San Francisco's expensive.
All right. You
Are
know
you
what I mean?
Getting a job there? All right.
That's why Andy's always streaming over there. You know what I mean?
I didn't want to work at Freddy's. I had to stream.
You had to stream. Exactly. That's how you get out of it. Nanobiologist also points out that the wireless VR headset was first discussed last Monday, March 18th. Thank you.
They're really not doing good. You're wrongs here, clearly. This song's going on.
People, they like to editorialize. They like to drop things in that I'm not wrong about. That's them having a conversation. Conversations should, of course, be over there. And then they send me links. I got to do this. Nanobiologist says, according to this Kotaku article from Jason Schreier, Ubisoft has not had layoffs in over 15 years.
Wow.
Doing something good over there.
Hey, hey, and you. And yo. Why is there not an Oregon Trail out? Just on everything.
Switch?
Yeah, for everything.
Just like the DOS version?
There's the card game. Did you guys.
The who?
You know, there's a card game of Oregon Trail and it's super fun.
I don't. Come on, card games? What am I? You know what I mean?
Super fun.
I got things to do. You and Dornbush can play it, all right?
All right, we will.
Fine, go do it.
Good luck.
All right, and that's it.
All right, wow, not a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, it's going to be Tim and Gary Widow while I go visit my mom for her birthday. Well, Thursday, it's Tim and Fran. Friday, it's Fran and Imran Khan because we will be heading to Kansas City for the Kinda Funny meet and greet. Ben?
Yes, Greg.
Where can people keep up with you? This is your chance. You said this is the make
or break year.
Where are you going to send them to make sure you make it and you don't break it?
We're going to break something. On Twitter, I am Ben Runnings, just like Cool Runnings, but with Ben in front of it instead of cool. And then on YouTube, youtube.com/BenReacts, twitch.tv/BenReacts. I'm going to be streaming Mario Maker 2 quite a bit, quite heavily, probably like a good 12-hour stream the first weekend because I love Mario Maker.
Hell
oh my
yeah.
God. Best Nintendo game. That's not true. I just said that.
That's a bold claim right there.
That was fake.
Whatever, don't worry about it.
And then I'm on the Game Fanatics podcast pretty much every week. I do my podcast, twitch.tv/TheGameFanatics, every Sunday, live, 8 p.m. Pacific. And I think that's it. I write the occasional review at TheGameFanatics.com. I more edit and do stuff like that now. But it's a lot of fun. Come hang out. Ask me questions about going to school for game design and if you should do that and if maybe you shouldn't do that and whatever, you know. There's some things with that, but anything. And have fun out there.
Ben, thank you for putting yourself out there and hitting me up and be like, hey, I'd love to come do this show if that's possible. And then then I was like, I don't know, let me talk to you in Arizona. Like,
oh,
all
my
right,
God.
you're a person. That makes sense, yeah. You did a great job, man.
Thank you
so much. Everybody follow him. Go watch his podcast. Woo! Listen to him. Do all that stuff. And until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.